Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired chief of police. So thank you so much for being back on the show, doctor. Also, we have Officer Danny King with American Patrolman, and love having Danny on as well. It provides some great insight, especially when we get cops that are doing just stupid things to get into the grease. And also a shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And thanks to them, we started satellite radio on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and it's been a great ride ever since. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, right now we're streaming the 1.5 million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check that out. And FishOrlandoBass.com, that is Zach's fishing charter. And hey, if you're going to Orlando, which is where it's at, drop the wife and kids or grandkids off at Disney. Take the foot off the brake and head on to fishorlandobass.com. Do that bass fishing charter. Or if you're very adventurous like Chief Schultz here, do the alligator hunting where you catch and release alligators. That's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm waiting to hear from the first person that hooks up with Zach on the fishing charter to find out how that is, or better yet, even the alligator. A shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? I'm going to whet the appetite here, guys. The first one, we're talking about our shooter, the deranged shooter. The school shooting yesterday. So yes, we're going to get the latest information on that. There was an extra victim that we didn't know about yesterday, and we're going to be explaining why that is. We have autopsy reveals that Massachusetts State Police recruit his death. And you'll be very surprised to hear what the cause of death was. I know the family was. Then we have a Toronto police officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left a man injured. Now I know we're talking about Canada, I'm really curious to hear what Danny King has to say about that. And then we got Bridgeport officer. You know, I have to throw it out that the woman did say to shoot him before the male cop did shoot the guy in mental distress. So I'm just going to say that, you know, the woman officer may have had something to do with this, Danny. We've also got another one here. We've got Bridgeport officer justified in shooting a guy who runs the police with knives, plural. Then we got an Obama judge. You know, remember when Alligator Alcatraz, they said that don't let any more detainees come here. And now they're ordering it dismantled, and they've already started moving detainees out of the facility. We're going to be talking about that, who that judge is. Orange County deputies fatally shoot a guy that's armed with a knife. So we got another knife attack. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And yeah, the guy was fleeing out of the house. I mean, he was obviously surprised by the cops because he didn't have a stitch of clothing on, I don't think. So we'll be covering that as well. So if you guys are ready, let's cover the first one. NewsNationNow.com and the other sources are NewYorkPost.com and The Federalist. So shooter had deranged fascination with school shootings and killing children. So look, this is the information still coming out daily, if not hourly, guys. So this is the latest information that we've got. I've got these news articles, these three articles that I'm going to be covering very quickly. So Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, they remain closed on Thursday as officials continued the investigation involving the shooting that left two children dead and 18 people injured. Now, the numbers have changed. I'll tell you why in a minute. Police said that they have not yet been successful in interviewing the shooter's mother at this time, and they would not confirm if they'd spoken to the shooter's parents. So have they attorneyed up? That's what I'm wondering. Maybe one of the panelists has some more information on that. Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara said that the first 911 call came in about 8:31 in the morning. A regular police officer, no helmet, no SWAT gear, ran into the church, was directed to the shooter. I'm curious whether the shooter offed himself when the cop was coming towards him. He didn't want that confrontation. It says they recovered three shotgun shells, 116 rifle rounds, and one live round from a handgun that appeared to malfunction when the shooter attempted to use it. So it implies that three shotgun blasts were used, 116 rifle rounds were fired, and that handgun round, it was live, meaning it had not been fired and the gun had malfunctioned, but the guy had three weapons. It goes on to say that four search warrants were executed on Wednesday with hundreds of pieces of evidence recovered, including electronic devices. Chief O'Hara said that investigators are still determining a motive, but they described the shooter as having a, quote, deranged fascination, unquote, with previous school shooters, and said the shooter's writings described hatred towards other groups. We'll get to that in a second. He said the goal, this is the chief, the goal of the shooter was to gain notoriety and ask people to stop using the shooter's name. I will point out that we have never used the shooter's name on the show. We did not do it all day yesterday. Acting U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson said that it appears the shooter acted alone. His writing described hatred towards Black people, Mexicans, Christians, Jewish people. The only group that they said he didn't hate was other shooters. They said the shooter was also obsessed with the idea of killing children. And here's a quote from U.S. Attorney Thompson said that the shooter wanted to watch children suffer, which is very disturbing. Officials said the shooter was not on any federal watch list, that he did not have a documented history of mental health problems. The police said that they were not aware of any contacts between the shooter and law enforcement. The church has a policy of locking doors when the mass begins, which is what they did. Chief O'Hara said this likely would save lives because the shooter couldn't see who he's shooting at. Remember, there's stained glass windows. The shooter was able to obtain weapons legally with no criminal or mental health history that would have prevented him from buying a gun. And so we're talking about diagnosed mental health conditions. Police said the shooter grew up attending the church, that church, and that school, because it was a church school, but he had not been to church recently, and there was no indication of a specific grievance against the church. The chief said that we clarified that the additional victim was unknown to investigators yesterday because the child was transported to the hospital by a private vehicle. Now, of course, we've got Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey weighing in on this. Of course, our panelist Bob Kroll is no stranger to Jacob Frey. Jacob Frey does not have a lot of respect from the law enforcement community, but he called for state and federal bans on high-capacity magazines in the wake of the shooting, advocated for state and federal bans on what he calls assault rifles, even though there's no such thing as assault rifle. So he's asking for a ban that would violate everybody's Second Amendment right and also would do nothing to prevent a bad guy, excuse me, from getting a hold of a gun. We're talking about getting guns legally, which, of course, followers of the law like us do, but of course, criminals, people that are going out and killing children and stuff, why would they not obtain a gun illegally, right? So his demand was echoed by other people that were as ignorant as Mayor Jacob Frey, Leah Kondis with Moms Demand Action and Rep Omar. And then we're going to pop down to our next article. And that one is titled Minneapolis School Shooter, not going to give the name, confessed that he was tired of being trans. I wish I had never been brainwashed myself. This just goes with the mental health disorder that is associated with this. Transgender mass shooter confessed that he was tired of being trans. He wished he never would have brainwashed himself into a manifesto posted online. That's what he said. In a twisted handwritten journal he shared on YouTube before the massacre, that he groaned about his long hair and his decision to transition. I'm tired of being trans, he wrote. I wish I never brainwashed myself, according to the translation that the Post provided. He's 23 years old, later wrote that he regretted being trans and just wished he was a girl. And it gives some quotes and stuff. And it talks about the transition process and how it was expensive and stuff. And then finally, the best article out of all of them, I believe, we don't need gun control. We need to classify gender dysphoria as a mental illness again. And they say that again because it used to be and it was changed. The experts apparently got it wrong. So when a tragedy like the one at Annunciation Catholic School on August the 27th unfolds, the knee-jerk reaction from Democrats and their allies in the corporate media is to demand more gun grabs and recruit Republicans to pass red flag laws. And our author says, hey, there's a solution. And our author is Jordan Boyd, by the way. There's a solution that would not require any further encroachment of law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights. In fact, the answer lies in the very paperwork and background checks that leftists often claim are not enough of an obstacle to guns. And curbing the alarming rise of shootings committed by people pretending to be the opposite sex starts with treating transgenderism as a serious mental health issue. Now, it gives a timeline on what's happened in the past. I'll let the Dr. Schultz talk about that if he wants to. It's fascinating when you hear the history of how that what they people that feel this way, how they used to be considered and how it and how we have, I know they're transitioning, but we've transitioned the laws as well to, let me use the word, accommodate them and look where we are today. So these are the articles. This is the latest information that's available as of right now. And guys, commentary on this. I'm kind of curious where you guys are at on this, if there's any surprises or predictions on this, and whoever wants to go for it. Danny King, why don't you take the lead on this if you don't mind?
Well, I think like most Americans, we're shocked and we're looking for, what is a realistic, practical solution to this problem. And I got to tell you, Chip, I have no idea what that is. I have a lot of friends that are in this space, in the active shooter space. And even they struggle to come up with a solution that doesn't impose on the rights of gun owners and law-abiding citizens, and at the same time protects the innocent like this. You know, one of the things that you can't do for sure is take the ideology of someone who is mentally unfit and try and solve that solution, right? And you know, this individual, the individual that walked into the tower in NYC had a problem with the NFL and started shooting people one story down. And it wasn't
coming up on a commercial break, Danny. So hold that thought. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online options into it, it's almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. Well, we give away a couple every week of this show. And if you have family, friends, and loved ones, and if you hook them up with a new Gauls gift card, I can pretty much guarantee you they're going to be your new best friends, and that is at Gauls.com as well. And I tell you, they've got all kinds of stuff. I love their boots and their grab bags. I just ordered a pair of waterproof boots the other day, Danner boots, and they came quickly. I got a discount because they have sales going on all the time. Gauls.com, check it out. You guys would be glad that you did. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and hopefully by now you guys are familiar with them. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with ComplianTechnologies.com and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And please make sure you watch the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Officer Danny King. And we're talking about the latest information out on our church school shooter, that happened unfortunately the other day. So we got a lot of interaction going on right now on the online stream. And I believe that when we left off, I think that Officer Danny King was talking. So Danny, the floor is yours.
Well, just like I was saying, that you have a mentally ill individual, right? Whether you're calling it trans or just regular mental illness, the reason that this guy did what he did is something that can't be justified either way and can't be fixed, quite honestly. So I don't know why you would then default to taking the firearms. But again, I'm not a specialist of those things, but I will tell you that the individual who walked into the tower in New York, the guy from Las Vegas, said he had CTE and blamed the NFL. The guy never played in the NFL. The NFL had nothing to do with it. At best, he was a high school football player. But you know, it's sad, and I think if we look at it long enough, people who actually understand it, look at it hard enough, I should say, we could probably come to a better solution than we have here. But outside
you're
of
saying,
that, man, I'm just...
You're saying the bar's pretty low then, huh?
Well, I mean, it's... We have the ability to fix this. Just like all of us, we specialize in our own area. This is not an area that I specialize in, and quite honestly, I couldn't tell you one way or the other how to fix this, but I'm hoping someone can soon.
Well, if we only had a doctor on the show, we might be able to get there. Come to think of it, we do have Dr. Joel Schultz on the show today, don't we? So Dr. Schultz, curious what you have to say.
You know, I'm not going to claim expertise in a whole lot of areas, but this one I do. I was a campus police chief for 7 years. In fact, I was interviewing while the blood was fresh on the ground at Virginia Tech. I was K-12 security director for a period of time, and and have done a lot of research and writing on that. You can find my articles on the issue. One thing I would say is there were 130,000 schools that did not suffer a school shooting this week.
Good point.
So schools are still statistically the safest place for kids. They're safer than homes. They're safer than being on trampolines and swimming pools and in vehicles. If you look at the death statistics, you'll see, or homicide statistics, you'll see a dramatic drop off in homicides of children, or murders of children, when they enter school. So it's actually higher from 0 to 5 than it is from 5 to about 13. And then kids are, you know, starting to do their own thing. So that doesn't take away from the evil and the tragedy of that event. But I just want to assure that parents that their kids are very, very safe. And, you know, it's less than a probability of a lightning strike for a kid to be. But I have a vested interest in this. My son-in-law was in the cafeteria during Columbine, sitting next to, unknowingly, an unexploded propane bomb. And that's one of the reasons my granddaughter, who's going to Miss America next weekend, has a platform of school safety. So I'm invested emotionally and professionally in this. Now, having said all that, Danny, you're right. I don't have a solution to this. One of the things that we have to, the Secret Service has been all over this trying to profile school shooters. They're so anomalous, each one of them. We can't look at Annunciation or Columbine or Covenant or Las Vegas or New York City and say, okay, because of that, we're going to do this, because that would just prevent that particular event. And I'm not just throwing up my hands, because there are some target hardening things and some networking, social intelligence gathering kinds of things that can be done. There is an overrepresentation of gender ideologists that's non-binary, trans, gender fluid. And by the way, I lived in and worked in Trinidad, Colorado for a while, which was, up until the last few years, the sex change capital of the United States. I'm familiar with that lifestyle. I don't understand the journey of those people. I don't want to be hypercritical. But you've got the Covenant shooting. You've got the one that we're talking about this week. You've got a workplace shooting, 4 dead in Aberdeen, Maryland in 1918. The Highland Park shooting a couple of years ago here in Colorado. Perry, Iowa, 2 dead in 2024. And I've got another half sheet. I'd say at least 4 other incidents of people who either were non-binary, trans, or gender fluid that had attacked either schools or religious institutions. And so there is an overrepresentation. That doesn't mean we need to be afraid of every man that wears lipstick. That's not what I'm saying. But there is an issue there. And we have this moral confusion about, we say, well, this guy must have been nuts, but yet we wanted him to be punished. I think most of us in law enforcement are always disappointed when somebody shoots themselves, because we didn't get to see an officer take care of that person or the justice system take care of that person. So if they're truly mentally ill and they don't have any control over themselves, that's tragic, and maybe, you know, a need for compassion there. But we don't feel that way. It's evil. I happen to believe in the personification of evil, and I think this was the case. The Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's the father of lies. And if there was anybody that personified that kind of evil, whether you believe in it or not, it was this shooter. And what the solution to that is, I don't know. Just all we know is we shouldn't think or pray about it.
Amen. No, good points. We are going to touch on a couple more things on this and then move on. But guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. So great commentary. Thank you guys so much. And I love the expert level on the topic you bring, Chief. So guys, stick with us. It's still going to get really, really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit arrowprecisionusa.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-weight platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Again, that is arrowprecisionusa.com. Now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, anonymous tips on September the 3rd. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluetogold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Officer Danny King. We've been talking about our active shooter at the Catholic school, and when they were unmasked, that happened the other day. And we've got new information coming out. We've got a lot of information on the stream right now. A lot of our streamers are weighing in on this. I know we got Betty Dunn. We got Lois. Lois is talking about the shooter because of what happened with the shooting. Now we got people that are attempting to take our guns and stuff, and talking about how it's a mental condition. And I just wanted to bring a part of the article of one of the last articles about. Well, they talk about for centuries and the people that had a desire to switch sexes were defined and treated as what they said, a weighty mental and behavioral disorder. And then by 1980, transgenderism was officially classified as a psychosexual disorder in third edition of the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. More than 30 years later, in 2013, the APA's fifth edition DSM, they removed gender identity disorder as a diagnosis, and they replaced it with what? Gender dysphoria. And that's focused less on fixing this gender bending and more on doing whatever it takes to relieve the situation. So they're letting, encouraging, surgery or hormones or, chemicals and all this other stuff. And of course, that source, it's thefederalist.com. Is that particular article, and is titled "We Don't Need Gun Control. We Need to Classify Gender Dysphoria as a Mental Illness Again," according to Jordan Boyd, the author. So, with that last revelation and a little bit of history for our readers, because I got to admit, I was totally uneducated about that, and that's the great thing about the show. We can reach masses of people by being on satellite radio and then streaming to 1.5 million people, and it's all about education, right? 2 hours ago, I didn't know what I just read to you, and now I'm a little bit more educated, on the topic. But we want you guys to be among the smartest people in the room when these topics come up, and they should come up. And so that's what it's all about. Dr. Schultz?
Well, first of all, I want people to know that my last comment about don't be thinking and praying was obviously a bitter retort to those empty-headed liberals that say this is, you shouldn't be thinking and praying about things. We should be doing something.
Action. Yeah.
So that's just wanted to make that clear. And secondly, and I'll get to your topic here in a second. I'm lucky I have any teeth left, because I grind my gears when these Minnesota politicians get up to the microphone. I just please God, strike them mute. Everybody wants.
I don't have to.
everybody wants to celebrate the cops and the first responders. I want to go back a couple of years and say, how have you been treating your cops? In this state. But anyway, yeah. If you look at the history of gender dysphoria, you'll see that there is a social contagion, and I know the advocates disagree with this, but there's a social contagion about it, because the original definition of those dysphoria was from a kind of an early onset, and there's certain characteristics, and in these teenagers that, you know, a guy gets a tingle when he sees a guy, or a girl gets a tingle when she sees a girl, and they, oh, well, I must be whatever, or I'm uncomfortable with myself, and what 13-year-old is comfortable with in their own skin. And then the therapists and politicians and the parents are confused, because the advocacy community is saying, if you don't let your kids get these radical treatments, then they're going to be suicidal. And there's simply no statistical post hoc ergo propter hop. This happened, therefore, their suicide rates aren't really significantly different between before and after treatment. So I feel really bad for particularly young kids who you know, can't decide what shoes to wear in the morning, but they're supposed to decide whether they want to keep their genitals and their reproductive capacity in check. That's just cruel. And I can't believe the medical profession has gone into it, except for not just the ideology, but the dollars. And it's the same way with the abortion industry. There's lots of money to be made with these procedures. And that's in this, an initial motive for all of this. And speaking of motive, I know we want to understand motive. Motive is not a statutory requirement for proving anything. It's intent, the observable, articulated intent. Now, motive is an element in hate crimes, and that's why I don't like having hate crimes. All those other things are crimes anyway. Oh, why'd you kill him? Well, I hated him. Oh, yeah. Well, then after no, that is encroaching on thought crime. And when you start prosecuting thought crime, then you're inching towards George Orwellian kind of society. So, and you know, I heard somebody, and I absolutely agree with them. I can't remember who the commentator was, but just stop asking why. We're not going to know why, and even if we know why, it's not going to do us any good.
Doesn't matter.
We don't understand. It's just a choice to commit evil, in my view, from this young man's decision.
Mm. Excellent commentary, guys. So anyway, hopefully our audience can appreciate us going to great lengths to bring this information to you. And, you know, it could easily change tomorrow. There's going to be new information coming out. We're not going to be airing the show over the weekend unless something critical goes down. So thanks for watching the show and allowing us to share with you as we all educate ourselves. And it's a sad story, but it's an opportunity to become more educated on this. And like I think all of us agree that there's no one answer that fits all. There's no magic solution. But one thing I can tell you, and I think that everybody will back me up, taking the guns under the ignorant notion that that is going to solve something when you've got bad guys that want to do bad things and think that they're only going to get a hold of guns if they do it legally, and that you're going to, by any way, shape, or form, negatively impact their ability to be able to get a gun. You are so far out there and so ignorant. They need to put you in a corner, take the microphone away before you damage everybody else's, you know, Second Amendment rights, and because you just don't get it.
If you look at the statistics, Chip, of people who have even transient mental illness in their lives, it's a huge percentage of the human population. That we go through those seasons where we may have, you know, suicidal thoughts or depression or disassociation. And if you look at the number of people, particularly young people, that are on psychotropic medication, are we going to keep everybody that's taken Valium or Xanax from buying a firearm? And if I want to be a gun owner and I have had some challenges, maybe I went through alcohol rehab and I'm 5 years sober, I've got a mark that I've been institutionalized for mental health. We're really stigmatizing mental health that way. And I was also say that most shooters don't have a diagnosable mental health, don't have a mental health diagnosis. And so even overrepresentation of people who are diagnosably mentally ill in school shootings is not a provable foundation of fact either.
Now you bring that up, leave that mic open, Chief. You brought something up, and I, Look, we're talking. This is not rehearsed, guys, obviously. So in the research that I did read, and I found this fascinating, that they weren't necessarily talking about people. And I'm probably preaching to the choir. You probably know all this, but I read and was fascinated that if you self, let's say that you self-admit yourself, you know, for some kind of a mental, you know, thing, or maybe even if you're Baker active, but I mean, they were only considered when you apply for a firearm and they ask you whether you've got a mental health disorder, or whatever. They're not talking about self-admitting yourself. They're talking about being forced by a court or being ordered to go for medical, you know, to a medical facility or to a mental facility, something along those lines. But I like the fact that they had it somewhat open to where just because you went and you got a self-evaluation, you weren't necessarily tagged with that, where you couldn't maybe purchase a firearm or anything. So it seemed like it was, from what I was reading, at least there was an effort made to try to address that.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that particular interpretation, but I think about police officers who were suffering from a variety of anxiety disorders and PTSI, even involved in domestic violence incidents, and they've lost their right to carry a weapon. You know, we've got a lot of walking wounded that are really doing a fine job on the street. Their life may be in a shambles off duty, or their marriages and families may be falling apart, but they can still operate. I mean, we're all walking wounded and have some brokenness to some degree or another. So we just need to be real careful about the creeping restrictions on firearms ownership. And right now we're in a legal season where we've got a lot of victories in terms of private firearms ownership, and I hope that continues because I want to keep mine.
I'm with you. All right, guys, coming up on our next commercial break, and hey, we got some great topics coming up, so please stick with us, audience. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Officer Danny King with American Patrolmen. And look, we just got the latest stuff down about the school shooter. Guys, is there anything else anybody wanted to add before we move on to the next story? No. All right. So Boston25News.com, autopsy reveals Massachusetts State Police recruits cause of death. But it's been a while. We've been waiting for this to come out for a while. I know the family has. So the family of Enrique Delgado Garcia, a Massachusetts State Police recruit who died during a training exercise that happened last year, has reportedly received his autopsy report nearly 1 year after the passing. So Delgado Garcia died accidentally of blunt force injuries to the head during a boxing training exercise at the State Police Academy in New Braintree that happened in September of 2024. And this is what the family's lawyer is telling the Boston Globe. Now, the lawyer's name is Mike Wilcox. He said the private autopsy, so again, private autopsy, you're going to find out this costs some money for the family, revealed that the 25-year-old died of complications from intracranial hemorrhages that were due to the blunt force impact injuries of the head in the setting of physical training exercises, unquote, according to the newspaper. And Delgado Garcia, a member of the 90th recruit training troop, became unresponsive during a defensive tactics training exercise. He died at a nearby hospital, according to the state police. Sources familiar with the investigation told 25 investigates that Delgado Garcia suffered broken bones, damaged or missing teeth, and a spinal injury. I got to say, as a former defensive tactics instructor, that's a little alarming. Those sources said that he was in the ring with someone else when he stumbled onto the mat. He stands back up, The fight was allowed to continue. He collapses and following a blow to the head. An independent investigation now. This is where the family, their own investigation comes in of Delgado Garcia's death. It's past the $300,000 mark. So that means the family's in the hole for about $300K plus as of May the 25th. In a one-on-one interview with Boston 25's Gene Levansky earlier in the month, Colonel Jeffrey Noble pledged transparency once the results of the investigation were made available. And in May, the state police announced major academy reforms sparked by Delgado Garcia's death. So look, by any take, any definition, this is just a sad, sad story. Commentary, I know I certainly have ideas on this, but commentary, Danny King, you want to start us off?
Yeah. So years ago, you know, guys coming out of Vietnam had been through some things, you know, growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, you'd get involved in a fight, and then fighting became less and less okay by public standards because of the violence. And so now we're in a position where, you know, I'd been in several fist fights as a kid, as an adult, but now we're in a spot where most law enforcement recruits have never been in a fight, right? And the first time they've been punched in the face is on duty as a police officer. That's not what you want. You know what I mean? The first time I've got hit as a police officer was probably like the 100th time I've gotten hit. And it was just like, just business as usual. You know what I mean? Whereas other people are stunned. So they went to instituting boxing in the academy just so people become familiar with it and see how they handle themselves. Now that those injuries seem excessive. So I'm wondering if maybe he got punched, fell, spun around, hit his mouth or something like that. But it is normal. In most military units, it's normal in law enforcement, especially academies, to do some type of physical combat as you will be expected to do on the street prior to, just to kind of test your mettle and get you used to it.
Yeah, I agree. As you should. I mean, as a former defensive tactics instructor, look, I had my hand broken when I've been kicked, you know, in a fight. But you're right. You're completely on spot on, Danny. A lot of these kids, and I say kids, they're, you know, 21 years old and older. But this is the first time many of them have ever been in a fight. And we call red man drill. So I have questions about, look, there can be injuries. You should have the fighting. They need to have the confidence and the fighting skills necessary. And again, a lot of times the first time these guys have ever gotten into a fight is in defensive tactics training. They need to learn how to fight their way out of a paper bag because a lot of them can't. And I'm talking about, you know, males, females of all sizes, and you need to pin people up with people of different, you know, skill levels, because guess what? On the street, you know, you're going to have guys that are going to outskill you, and that's where the tools of the trade come into play. But, you know, that said, you know, we had red man gear. We had we had head protection, body protection, leg protection. And, we got hit with batons, but they weren't real batons. They were, you know, foam batons and stuff. You do things to minimize the risk. So with the extent of these injuries, it really makes me question whether they were red man drills where they had protected with the red foam headgear and vest and everything. I mean, missing the teeth and stuff. I really have a hard time. Look, I've got clocked in the head and stuff. And you can ring someone's bell, but I really have a lot of questions over what kind. And then you have a safety officer that's in charge of the fight. If someone's getting their clock rung, you stop that fight. You know, you don't want an injury. So I do have questions about this. I told a story on the break how, the Boston bar, I grabbed the bad guy. He was on probation, but he was a bad guy, and he sucker punched me when he's trying to run away from me. He's taking a chain and wrapping it around his hands, and he sucker punches me. And we all, him and the other cop he put in the hospital, we all go to the hospital together. We're on beds side by side in the ER and stuff. And my sergeant's got to take me home. I'm throwing up and I'm swallowing a lot of blood because my nose is busted and stuff. I never had an idea that my orbital was broken. And so now years later, a few years ago, I had that MRI for something, and I got a healed broken orbital that everybody's freaking out about. And when they finally told me that's why I'm having all these extra x-rays, I knew immediately what it was from. And remember going to the, you know, Memorial Hospital, and just no one ever took the x-ray, and I never knew I had a broken orbital. So those things, you know, can happen. You got to learn how to fight, though. Chief Schultz.
Yeah, it's really a hard, you know, for a training manager and administrator to say, are we really going to let people go all out in a training fight because we know we're going to end up having some injuries. And so that's tough. But Danny's absolutely right. You don't want to be the one who the first time you get punched in the face is out on a street fight. And I've been an advocate. I didn't do it. I was too vain. We had riot helmets, you know, the shorty helmets in the trunk. But I never thought about putting one of those on before I went into a bar fight. But man, I think we should normalize the use of helmets in domestics and bar fights. Now, people are going to be too vain and they're going to say, no, I've been fine. But I know some people that have really had some serious injuries. And you know, you mentioned that this the autopsy and some of the investigation has been financed by the parents. That tells you they do not trust, and possibly with good cause, they don't trust the organization to do the right thing. And Randy Sutton can tell you about 100 stories where it's all CYA on the agency's part and they're not taking accountability. So what will have to come out in the inevitable lawsuit, if they don't just get a check written to them, is what is the pattern of safety in training in the past? Was this really an anomaly? Was it some pre-existing conditions? Or is just this the way you know that they treat these expendable trainees to get them up to snuff? So it's a story we can need to continue to follow.
No, I agree. Danny, I don't know if you saw, but we have a user saying, hey, he had to retire due to a traumatic brain injury that he received on duty. Then we have a Betty Dunn logging in and say, how do you get a spine injury involved in boxing? And they've got some really good questions, our streamers.
Yeah. So your spine is what supports essentially with your muscles in your neck. You know what I mean? You take a good blow, like right now, all I have to do is lift my chin, and I've got a series of cracking and popping all the way down my spine. You know, you can look to the left at my age and something's just going to pop out of place. And so when you take a blow from a guy at full speed, and a good blow at that, you know, that's ultimately what knocks you out. Just that spin, the torsion on your neck, the reticular activator, it puts you out. So it's very easy to get a spinal injury during a punch. And I've seen lots of guys retired for brain injuries and things like that, where once it happens, you know, your brain just doesn't repair itself. And sometimes you're looking at long-term damage and guys are forced off the street and jobs that they love. Happens, unfortunately, I would say every day.
Wow, that's scary stuff. Guys, another great show. We talked about some deep stuff. We're not even going to have time to get to the story with the video component, which I apologize for the Toronto story. That was interesting, but watch next week for catch up. Danny King, how can our guys get more information about you and American Patrolman?
Well, this week I'm updating the site. Right now it's down, but AmericanPatrolman.com. I focus on use of force and educating guys how to stay out of any type of controversy. A lot of times we undermine ourselves accidentally and for no good reason. So
right.
I teach those things.
Excellent. Thank you. And Chief Schultz, I know you're at SchultzCo@gmail.com, and you got about 10 seconds for your books.
I found a couple in the closet. $15. Just email me. I'll tell you how to do it. This tells you how to chill the heck out.
I love it. And very applicable to today's stories. So guys, SchultzCo@gmail.com. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, iMedicare.life, SafeGuardRecruiting, TubeBells, and FishOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back on Monday at 12 noon Eastern.